Right now, it is time for us to pick up our traveling bags and head out. It is time for us to bring in David Tarachuk with the Media Beat. David joins us on a Friday morning. He's a PBS television correspondent. He reports on ethics and belief. He also has his own website, themediabeat.us, and we are always pleased to have him here on a Friday morning. Good morning, David. Thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you. Not from my usual place in New York City, the media capital of the world, but from the Emerald Isle of Ireland. Once again, I'm still here. And we're looking at America with great interest here in Europe, of course, the week of the beginning of a new era, as many in Europe are regarding it, the Biden era. And I think much has changed. I think that there's been a lot of relief in the exchanges I've been having with Irish people and people in the rest of Europe. It's been an interesting time to be here, looking in on America.
Well, what's interesting, and I wonder if they see it from abroad, what I see here, and that it let's take politics and let's take policy out of it. The President of the United States, to me, is back to normal because the President of the United States now has daily press briefings once again. The President of the United States is going to let the Coronavirus Commission handle their own meetings. The President of the United States has indicated that they will make mistakes, but they will not cover up those mistakes. They'll try to respond to those mistakes. And you compare it to the Trump presidency, which was an experiment. There was, let's face it, the American people were very tired 4 years ago. They wanted change. They wanted change in Washington, and they brought in somebody who gave them that change. That change, unfortunately, though, turned into someone who did not cooperate and with the press at all and did not really have a great press office. And the comparison to me is night and day with how a president should comport himself as to not comport himself. Is that apparent over there in Europe as well?
Yes, I would say so, and I'd say that it's not—it's more than just the media. I think people in general are feeling that there's a massive change taking place. It was an Irish-American who commented to me almost immediately after the inauguration ceremonies. She said it was like a sense that we'd been in the grip of some kind of gigantic Godzilla shaking us around all the time, and then suddenly we've just been placed gently back in some kind of restful position. Maybe not restful in the sense that everything's okay, but certainly everything's a little bit more solid now, a sense that we're not being shaken about every day, which was, of course, the media experience all the time. You may be right in saying that President Trump was treated the press as a kind of enemy, but at the same time, you know, he was very conscious of the media. He was very responsive to it in some ways, but not in a cooperative way. I mean, what he thought of as cooperation with the media was getting the media to do what he wanted it to do. And that's not the case with Biden. We know Biden's history with the press is one of cultivating them, of course, but cultivating them from a sense of knowing that he needs them in order to speak to the people. And Biden's approach has always been that he wants to be seen as a man of the people. And that's his approach to the media, too. And it's probably going to be his approach through the next 4 years. The main thing that the Irish press has certainly homed in on is how brisk and businesslike he was in getting down to the main challenges facing him. COVID, first of all, of course, primary out of all others. But they drew attention to other things, getting certainly rhetorical attention in the speech. The speech was in many ways low-key but firm and giving a clear sense of what the new president's agenda was, not forgetting, of course, in all the things that he addressed, like COVID and the economy, suffering as it is because of COVID, But he went on to include environmental questions too, and putting it in almost the same kind of category, saying that the planet was crying out for its own survival too. Well, not the, I mean, strictly speaking, of course, it's not the planet's survival we're talking about. The planet will survive. It's only a question of whether we, the human race, will survive upon it. And that he made an important issue in his speech, too. And it's pretty clear from his appointments, not least having a single envoy for the issue of climate, heading everything up across all departments, with a portfolio that covers the entire waterfront, if you like. And, of course, one of his first executive actions, the very afternoon he was inaugurated, was to rejoin the Paris Environmental Agreement. And we will see how that moves on from now. But it's obviously getting the president's attention in a way that many people in Europe are grateful to see.
Yeah, well, he did that. He also rejoined the WHO. We hadn't fully exited there yet because we were in the process of exiting that. But and also the Paris Climate Agreement, once again, we're a part of. What I find interesting, and this is so striking, the difference between a normal presidency, and I'm not just saying Joe Biden, I'm saying the Bushes, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama.
All of whom were at the ceremony, of course. The inauguration was marked by their presence. Only Jimmy Carter was missing because he was too sick to attend. And, of course, the big missing Godzilla in all of that was the immediate past president, who didn't have the grace to attend, and I think Biden was glad that he didn't attend too.
You know, it's interesting, the big difference once again yesterday, Joe Biden through the press office announced that he had asked the top two people at the Labor Department to leave, and if they didn't resign, he would fire them. Once again, it didn't come out in a tweet. It didn't come out behind a podium. It was issued, that information came out through the press secretary.
Yeah, as I say, he will observe those usual norms and use the press as a way to approach the people, doing what presidents do or always have done until the immediate past president.
It's, you know, it's funny, one of the I was watching the guy who left Fox that is now with NBC, I forget who was considered a liberal on Fox. And he basically said that the comparison between the presidency before Trump and after Trump and during Trump is the fact that it now definitely shows that Donald Trump was winging it, where other presidents and other administrations weren't winging it. It was not presidential driven. You know, it was done to keep the public informed. So that's that. But you know, there's a lot of good things that have happened. I think everybody feels better. But there are a lot of things that Joe Biden has to face internationally now. That is Russia once again, and also China. I mean, there are tensions, and there are things that he'll have to deal with that have been let set to rot over 4 years.
For sure. The toxicity of our relationship with China, for instance, although Trump made a point of being kind of buddy-like with leaders like Putin and Xi in China, and of course the very erratic leader of North Korea included, small state but troublesome, what Biden is clearly going to have to do is drain those relationships of the toxicity that was very evident and got worse towards the end of the Trump years. And Biden, and more particularly, I think, as if you look at the team that he's assembled, are dedicated to the kind of traditional diplomacy which will not be toxic. I think we can be fairly sure about that. It will be there will be a recognition that our interests are very different, and that we have an occasion to really a real hostility to deal with. But it will be done in a way, I mean, this is what I'm expecting, and I don't think I'm wrong, it will be done in a way that is compatible with normal diplomatic exchanges between countries. There's a diplomatic service in just about every country in the world for a reason. That you have to have a way of talking to each other, even if you have very different interests, and even if you see each other as enemies, it's still important to talk to them, and to talk to them in terms that are civil and, to some degree at least, respectful of each other. And that, I think, is what a Biden administration will be ushering back in.
All right. Of course, this is the Media Beat. We've got David Tarachuk with us once again. And by the way, we also rebroadcast David on Mondays, I think right after our 12 noon news. We're spreading out from Joe Biden. We'll look at the Senate and the House. How long do you think it'll take everything to settle down, seeing as basically you have a 50-50 split in the House, even though the Democrats have the control because they have the vice president with her vote there? And also the House, do you think that we'll get into a routine where the House and the Senate will once again work in a legislative way with the presidency?
I think that's what everybody wants, except, of course, some Republicans, a few Republican senators, and I suspect a lot of Republican members of the House. But I think once we get through the confirmation period where Biden's nominees are dealt with by the Senate, and at the same time, it may well be a simultaneous effort, but even if it's not, it will be dealt with, I think, pretty soon. The impeachment trial of the immediate past president, do you remember him, a man called Trump? that will have to be taken care of as well. But I think when all that flurry is over, I do think maybe I'm being over optimistic, but I don't think so. I think everyone will be grateful for the chance to get back to the business of governing, and governing from the Senate involves, of course, enacting legislation, and there will be a lot of new legislative proposals coming partly from the White House, but also from each chamber of Congress as well, and we'll see those dealt with, I think, with a certain dispatch. I think Kamala Harris, as president of the Senate, will of course be putting her vote in there. That's important to maintain Democrat control of that chamber, and that's what she's essentially there for. But it will mean that business will get conducted, I think, in a way that was a lot more purposeful. That will turn out to be a lot more purposeful than it was under Trump.
Well, just 9 minutes ago at 7:40 this morning, the Twitter account of Iran's supreme leader posted what appears to be a call for an attack on Donald Trump. What the tweet was, and it's almost some of his own medicine back. The tweet is a picture of Donald Trump swinging a golf club, and then he is in the shadow of a big bomber. And it says, vengeance is inevitable. You see, that is what we were used to back under the Trump administration. And hopefully this is something that, if we can rejoin the Iran nuclear accord, that maybe we can get away from in the next several months. There's no definitive good answer to this because, you know, I once went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting as a guest, and the speaker said something that really goes to everything else. It's taken us 4 long years to get into the middle of this forest. And you know what? It's going to take a long time to get out of where we are.
It's not going to happen overnight. That's pretty damn clear. But I think we're probably, I mean, again, I'm in danger of sounding like a Pollyanna today, but I'm reflecting the mood of where I am right now. Ireland is looking at it optimistically. Europe is looking at it optimistically. Britain, and you know, making a distinction in the British Isles here between Ireland and Britain, Britain is looking a little nervously towards the Biden administration. But all in all, I think things are going to get better, not immediately, as you say. It'll take us a while to get out of this tangled forest that we've gotten ourselves into, but it will be a forward march, if you like. I mean, it certainly won't be the erratic trajectory that we noticed all too easily, almost every day. We got signs of our overall leadership being erratic, not just in the White House, but in consequence, in Congress as well. And while there are many Trumpists around, and they will make their presence felt, I think, in those two chambers and also in the country at large, I think the progress, and it will be progress, I think, urged on us by the president will be a matter of, you know, one step at a time, but moving forward out of the mess and into a greater clarity.
It's interesting, these white supremacist groups that have always been around, they didn't come around because Donald Trump was president. They've always been around, lurking in the background that we knew about. But once again, I think from what I've read, not only and on the BBC, but also in various papers and websites like The Hill and Politico, that all those white supremacist groups who were at that attack on the Capitol are extremely upset with Donald Trump. Why? Well, because they were not afforded, you got it, that's right, the executive pardon. And just, it's just another group that found out that, you know, they relied on something while it was there, and that's not there now. And all these groups are going to have to take some time to reassemble and figure out how they're going to deal with an administration, I think, and a judicial system and the House and Senate that have a different look towards them for the most part, except for the House, where there's a lot of white supremacists that that were elected to office. But it's still an interesting thing to look at how quickly Donald Trump dropped them like a hot potato, like he does just about everybody else.
Yeah, and it's telling, I think, how the alt-right movement, if you like, if you can call it that, is also very ready to drop Trump like a hot potato, too. The American journalists reporting on it and overseas journalists reporting on it as foreign correspondents, looking at it with the dispassionate eye of outsiders, are now reporting on the divisions in the Trump camp, if you can call it that more broadly, every bit as much as they would report upon divisions within the Democratic movement and in the Republican movement. It's a fact of political life that when you have a defeat like this, there's an awful lot of inward looking and navel gazing figuring out what went wrong and what people are going to do. So you have a really divided right wing now, which is a very interesting development. There was a peculiar kind of cohesion amongst the very splintered, because that's what they are by nature, splintered right-wing movements around America. But now, you know, following this 4 years of them sensing that they had a cohesiveness that they haven't had before, and it culminated in a rabble, in fact, on Capitol Hill, still not very completely coherent with each other, but nonetheless looking very threatening. But now you've got, after the important day of 20th of January arriving, the inauguration taking place, and none of the wild predictions of the right taking place that somehow or other Trump would get his revenge on that day. These were the kinds of wacky notions that were traveling around the internet then, before the inauguration, that somehow the Democrats would even be executed because of how much anger there was in the right wing And what we saw, of course, was as you say, a kind of return to normality. The president was inaugurated. There was a disturbingly large military presence in the National Guard, of course, and all sorts of tight security. But there wasn't any sort of there wasn't any uprising to cope with, and it passed very peaceably. And now we have the sense of, as you say, a right wing which is licking its wounds, and it's not going to go away, but it's certainly very divided once again.
And I just have to ask you this question. I think the whole inauguration ceremony was given a tremendous lift by the young poet laureate, who spoke eloquently, with animation and without fear, and delivered one hell of a poem.
You bet. You beat me to it. I was going to highlight her too. Amanda Gorman, Ireland's National Youth Poet Laureate. We've only had four of those. She was the first one in 2017. And certainly, I'm reporting today from a land of poets. Yeah. The Irish take poetry very seriously. And it was interesting to read Ireland's leading newspaper praise her mixture of what they called composure and joy. I think that's exactly right. And it was good to see her reaction to the reaction she created when she tweeted this, her contentment, you know, her delight at being welcomed so much. She quoted the Irish poet W.B. Yeats. Of course, she said, "I'm so happy that." I mean, she was so happy being applauded. She said, "Thank you so much to everyone for supporting me and my words. As W.B. Yeats put it, for words alone are certain good. Sing then." Well, she sang. Her poetry sang. And I think she's a fine symbol for hope for the 4 years to come.
You know, that's the whole thing. It wasn't a political poem at all. It was a poem about hope. And a great description in that poem of democracy. My jaw dropped when she was finished with that. It was absolutely probably one of the most stunning moments in inaugurations for a long, long time.
Yeah, at the age of 22, she was walking in the footsteps of Robert Frost, who spoke at Kennedy's inauguration, Maya Angelou spoke at Clinton's. And if, I don't know if you noticed, you got a very tight shot of her, you'd see a ring there that represented symbolically in gold a bird in a gilded cage, which was a direct reminder of Maya Angelou, of course, wrote about such matters symbolically, very, very cogently as well.
Well, we are obviously in the beginning of a very different 4 years to come. It's going to be very interesting to see where we sit in 1 year in relations to our allies and to our enemies. And we'll see if America can reclaim its voice on the world stage. I think most of the world, except our enemies, would like that to happen.
Well, for the first 100 days, or a large part of those first 100 days of the Biden administration, I will be watching from Europe. So I'll let you know how our position in the world gets registered here.
Well, David, stay safe over there, and we will speak to you next Friday here.
Look forward to that.
Take care. David Terechuk with the Media Beat here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web.